This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb and tonight's guest, Thomas B. Morgan of New York City. Tonight's subject is pro football, still a sport. You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, night people. This is Gibb. Standing by in New York City is Mr. Thomas B. Morgan. Now, Mr. Morgan is a freelance writer for such magazines as Esquire and Look. After college, Mr. Morgan had to make a decision in his life as to whether or not he wanted to become an author or play pro football. He chose to be a writer, but he never lost his interest in football. His recent article in Esquire magazine, The American War Game, about pro football, has caused a lot of discussion in sports circles, and we've invited Mr. Morgan to join us here on Night Call tonight. Mr. Morgan will discuss his feelings on pro football, and if you'd like to ask him a question on pro football or about why Americans like to play football, give us a call here at Night Call. Now, it's very easy to call us. All you have to do is dial area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere collect. You may reverse the charges. Now, please make that call station to station. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. Our operators are on duty, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Mr. Morgan, what is pro football?
Russ, it's a game, I suppose, played with a ball about the size of a small watermelon for money.
For money?
By the best players available in the United States.
Well, why do so many Americans seem to enjoy this game that's played for money?
I'm sorry, Russ, I didn't get that.
Well, why do so many Americans seem to enjoy this game that's played for money called football?
I think they enjoy it because it's, as we enjoy anything that's done to perfection or near perfection. The elements of the game, of course, are gripping and have a kind of purgative effect. I think we all enjoy the violence of the game, and we enjoy the style of play. I think we enjoy that sense of liberation when a player breaks free. I think we all admire the quarterback, who's the Renaissance man with his back to the wall.
And, that's an interesting observation. What do you mean by that, the Renaissance man?
Well, I think that if I may get slightly philosophic, I think that we all appreciate or yearn for a chance to express ourselves as individuals, and I think it becomes more and more difficult these days as we are either replaced by machines or we work in large offices and don't really have a very good chance to have an identity of our own. I think that to see it on the football field, see a man, especially the quarterback, I think, out there all by himself, running something and running it beautifully is of immense satisfaction.
In other words, we're living through this guy's life.
I would say so. I think that's a very good way to put it.
But what about the guys in the stand? Is this really living, as far as football is concerned?
Well, I think also, probably carry it too far if we only speculate on what's going on beneath the surface. There's also something on the surface, too. It's really great fun. I think it's nice and warm being in a crowd. it's good to root for your side. The coffee is hot, and the afternoon is clear and clean, and it's a great place to take your son. And many of the just the visual and tactile parts of the game are extremely pleasing and are very satisfying.
What about the idea that?
Also, by the way, I might say that it is also in now.
Yeah, right.
Be a pro football fan, and there we get back a little bit below the surface again. As you know, in New York, you cannot get a ticket to the games. They have, I believe, 61,000 season tickets sold.
That's amazing.
That's it. I mean, there aren't any more seats. There are 63,000. And we have another team here, the Jets. They have 55,000 season tickets sold. There just aren't any seats left. As a matter of fact, the Jets have had a little trouble because apparently they held out a few thousand seats for latecomers, and nobody comes late because everybody thinks the seats are all gone.
Well, then actually, pro football has replaced baseball as the American pastime.
I think that's been true for 6 or 7 years anyhow. I think pro football got its impetus in the Eisenhower in the 50s. I'll not get political. But
go ahead, get political. Sorry.
Well, I think in the Eisenhower era, I think things were getting pretty dull, and baseball is essentially a dull game, and it was just too much dullness in real life. Football came on very strong for that reason. As you recall, boxing was very big through the 50s.
Right.
On television. There was a kind of a yearning for an excitement that wasn't there in that rather incredibly normal time.
Do you think there's anything to the rise of the military establishment to its predominant position today in the growth of pro football? In other words, are we becoming a militaristic nation?
Well, I think there's a lot in that, Russ. I don't know whether you can really relate the two things completely. I don't think there's any... This is no doubt in my mind. It's, I guess, just a personal opinion. But for what it's worth, I think the military establishment is the dominant... force below the president in the conduct of our foreign affairs these days, and I think that I think in general there's a greater tendency toward an acceptance of the violent solution. It's curious how we become more and more civilized and more organized, and at the same time. We seem to be becoming more and more violent.
Now, that's a strange paradox, and yet it seems to be a very human paradox, that as we become sophisticated in our societies, our sports or our outlets tend to become pretty violent.
That's right. I think, well, I don't want to carry that too far, because I think if you go back into history, our sports are not nearly as violent as they were even 100 years ago, as we call boxing. You know, they used to fight without gloves. And
the gladiators and tossing them in the lions.
But I do think the difference is that we are now playing violent team sports. And that's the thing that characterizes our age, I think, more than in the past. I think it's the team game that has become much more popular than the two-man contest. And I suppose that says something about the collective society.
A little bit earlier, Tom, you said something to this effect, that the football allowed the individual to have a role that he was
in. Right. I think he gets it. He gets it back in precisely the situation that he himself is living in, and it seems possible to shine and have an identity within a group, which I think would be the ideal or the best thing any of us can hope for anymore. And there it is on the football field.
In other words, you're saying that the individual is on his way out in our society.
Well. He will be if he's not careful.
Well, now, is he out on the football team? Is the individual out, as it were?
Well, again, I think these things are always kind of paradoxical to explain. I think any individual man on a team, on a professional team, feels that he's very much making a unique contribution that no one else
Well, now, the fans were getting pretty worked up, though, at this point, right?
Yeah, they got... Well, they
enjoyed.
Down.
They enjoy,
you know,
seeing someone...
There's nothing like a Giant fan for sticking with his boys when they begin to lose.
Well, this grinding someone up bothers me a little bit. What do you mean by grinding them up?
Well, you know, the game in the line is... I think I explained that a little bit in my article, but I probably explain it a little better here. The game in the line is... a question of hitting. I mean, it's hitting. It's like boxing almost. And
team boxing.
Right. I mean, you on every play, your intention is to make contact with the man across from you and give him a jolt, and then you give him another jolt, and then of course you try to be in position to make a tackle if you're on the defense, or if you're on the offense, you're trying to push the man out of the way. The idea is to make contact and to make it as hard as you can, so that over a period of time in the game, one or the other man begins to feel it.
And they do feel it.
You see a boxer will be working on somebody's kidneys or hitting him under the heart a few times and nothing seems to happen. And then you wonder all of a sudden why in the eighth round the guy falls on his face. Well, within the rules of pro football, something like this goes on there. And it is a man-to-man duel, going back to the original part of this question.
Within a team.
Within the team, it is a one man against one man. And believe me, those fellows feel that they are absolutely, it's enormously satisfying. And, of course, it's a little easier to see that when you consider the backfield. But each man does have a role to play and his moment of glory. And that's, I think, almost more than the money. I think the glory is what they play for.
Our guest tonight is Mr.
Thomas B. Morgan. He's an author, and our topic is Pro Football Still a Sport? We're discussing the American scene. And if you'd like to join us here at Night Call and express your opinion about football, what do you think about it? Is it a good game? Is it a bad game? Is it brutal? Is it gentle? You know, let us know by giving us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches. This is Night Call, and here is host Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People, and our guest tonight is Mr. Thomas B. Morgan. He's an author who has written for such magazines as Esquire and Look, and has a new book coming out called The Anti-Americans, which will be published by Holt, Reinhardt, and Winston in 1966. And it's a study of the American metaphor in major world regions. But tonight we're talking to Mr. Morgan about pro football, and our question on Night Call is, pro football still a sport? What do you think about pro football? Why do Americans like it? What is it about pro football that you like? Give us a call here at Night Call and express your opinion. Area code 313-846-6601. 6601. Now remember, you may dial us direct. And if you wish, you may make that call collect. You may reverse the charges. Our night call number, area code 313-846-6601. Mr. Morgan, recently we've noticed in pro football a lot of the quarterbacks seem to be getting injured. Why is this?
Russ, I believe what has happened in pro football in recent years, the game has become much more open. By that I mean passing, as everyone knows, has become the major strategic weapon and requires a lot of running around. And there's a rule in both professional and all football that on a passing play, only an eligible receiver may cross the scrimmage line by more than 1 yard. That means that the two tackles, the two guards in the center on the offensive team must stand where they are to do their blocking. This creates a situation where it's five men against, 11 if they want to play it that way, or seven or whatever the defensive line is. And this is create a situation where they do what they call blitzing. And
what was that term?
Blitzing.
Blitzing.
Which is an effort to break up a pass play before it gets started. Either one of the linebackers on the defensive team or one of the linemen even will try to shoot through the gap between the one of these five players who, because of the requirement against him, is somewhat immobilized. All he can do is stand up and try to get in people's way. When you see football, you'll notice that on passing plays, a lineman usually stand up, cross their arms, and try to beat the other fellow around the ears with their elbows. But that's about all they can do. They can't push forward, which is the where strength would come from. So given that kind of situation, when the defensive team smells a passing play, and you can pretty well tell when a pass is going to come because of the position of the ball on the field and the down and the number of yards needed for a first down, the time of the game, the score, and so on, you can pretty well tell when there's going to be a pass. And so players blitz. They come shooting through this gap, usually running from 3 or 4 yards back of the scrimmage line into the gap and try to grab the quarterback before he can
get away.
Fall back with such blocking as he has to make his pass. Now, at the same time, the ends and other pass receivers are running downfield, and they've got to run their patterns, try and outsmart the defense and so on. So there's a period of about 3 or 4 seconds in there when the quarterback is in mortal peril, and because of blitzing, it only takes a second or two for the man to get through there, and therefore more and more as they master this technique, quarterbacks are getting creamed. And as happened last week, Unitas was put out probably for the season. We here in New York remember poor old Charlie Conley being beaten to the ground Sunday after Sunday.
And what are these guys worth?
They're worth... You see, the quarterback is probably the highest paid man on most teams. They get... I wouldn't venture a guess on their salaries. I'm sure they're $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. A quarterback like Joe Namath of the Jets is said to have received $400,000 for signing a contract with the Jets.
Well, now, the club owners, they're aware of what they're paying for these guys.
And I think, I really think that something probably will have to be done about it. Baltimore is going to have to play this week and next week, and they're playing for the championship. With a fellow who hasn't played, to my knowledge, hasn't played hardly at all, except on the rare occasions that United has missed a game in the last few years. And Baltimore has its title at stake. This was true for the Giants when Wyatt Tittle was so badly injured in a game against St. Louis a few years ago.
Well, Tom, I have a caller standing by in Baltimore, Maryland, a listener on WBAL, Mr. Dave Watson. Good evening, David. Speak right up. You're on night call. Your comment, please, sir.
Yes, I was reading the article, and there was a student, it says, that was enrolled in the Ohio, in the Southern California College in 1950, was his first game as a sophomore. And then he joined the Army in 1953 and was anticipating a discharge. And the American Football Coaches Association voted this person All-American Best Player of the Year.
Right.
And I was wondering why they did this when this football player later died in the Army in Korea.
Now, what article are you talking about, Mr. Watson?
Sir?
Is this Mr. Morgan's article that you're talking about?
No, you said talking about some other article.
No, I see.
Mr. Cope's in the Life magazine.
I see. Well, now, what's your question? I really don't see your question, David.
Well, my question is, why would these coaches of the American Football Association vote this player, All-American Player of the Year, when... he was in the Army and actually not playing football.
I see.
Well, I just think I think it was to honor him. I don't know who the player is that you're referring to, but obviously if he was killed in action in Korea, I'm sure it was an attempt to honor his memory. It seems to me that's a very decent thing.
David, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Okay, sir.
Good night, sir. Mr. Dave Watson, a gentleman listening on WBAL. Yes, sir.
Let me just finish that long-winded story I was telling about what happened to the quarterback.
Okay, good.
I've had one thought on it. I think that something's going to have to be done to protect the quarterbacks, and I've had the idea, and I think there's some other ideas being brooded about that perhaps on pass plays there will be a new rule of some kind to allow a team to drop an extra man into the backfield. To have a five-man backfield instead of, you know, it's limited to seven on the line and four in the backfield.
Right.
And it may be necessary to let a guard or a tackle actually take up a position in the backfield, not be able to carry the ball or receive a pass. In order to give a little extra protection to the quarterbacks.
Really, you're saying the owners are going to protect their investment, aren't you?
I think they've got to. They have that suggestion free of charge.
Okay, Tom, what is it about pro football that captures people today, whereas maybe 20 years ago, college football used to grab everybody? You know, we had the days of the rah-rah college football team.
Yeah, well, I think that has to do with the rise in the educational level in the country. In the days, in the heyday of college football, nobody went to college.
Yeah,
and
true.
It was kind of a, you know, it was a... It was a place where there was some, I can't quite think of the words. It had a glory and it had a romance about it that it was not only the college kids, but for all kinds of people who had not been to college. As the pros came on, more and more people went to college and they saw that, well, that's college, I've had that, now what do I do? And they turned around and they started looking for a better game, and college football lost its glamour for them because again in the 50s when the veterans were pouring out of the colleges. So as I recall, in the when I started going to the pro games regularly, it was about sometime in the mid-50s, an enormous number of fatigue jackets and old GI windbreakers. I remember making note of that one time. I said these must be all the guys who are who had the college route and on the GI Bill, and now they're moving on to a better game.
Now, do you really understand football? Do you think that the average American really understands the game, all the rules and regulations?
Well, it's not an easy game to understand unless you played it, I think, because so much of the mayhem and so much of the fun of the game is going on where you can hardly see it from the stands. It's always been a little bit of a mystery to me why women like it, for example, because they don't know at all what's going on. But
well, we might get some argument on that tonight.
But also, again, when the open style of play came in, that is passing and a little more razzle-dazzle, it made it visually more possible to see what was happening. And so people have developed a better understanding of the play. An ex-lineman like myself is always moaning about the fact that nobody knows what goes on the line, even today. But I think it's more readily understandable now than in the days when it was a grinding, tightly played, on-the-ground game.
It's a faster game today, isn't
it? Much faster, and again, I speak about New York. We have on our defensive team, we have an Olympic, one or two Olympic champion runners who are fantastic. You know, they take off, and next thing you know, they've done the 60-yard dash in 5.9 or something, and nobody can catch them.
Our guest tonight on Night Call is Mr.
Thomas B. Morgan. He's an author, and we're talking about pro football, whether or not it's still a sport, some of the problems involved in playing football today, and also some of the moral implications of why we like or dislike pro football. If you'd like to express your opinion here on Night Call, give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. Remember, you may reverse the charges. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches. This is Night Call, and here is host Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night Call people, and our guest tonight on Night Call is Mr. Thomas B. Morgan. He's a gentleman who writes magazine articles for such magazines as Esquire and Look, and also has several books to his credit. And his new book that's coming up is called The Anti-Americans, and it'll be published by Holt, Reinhardt, and Winston come 1966. And it says here, it's a study of the American metaphor in major world regions. And that leaves me a little bewildered, but some other night we're going to talk to Tom about his new book. Right now we're talking to him about football, because about a month or so ago he had an article on football in Esquire magazine. It caused an awful lot of discussion in sports circles. And it was basically entitled The American War Game. And he compares football in some respects with war, and discusses the injuries that some of the players sustain. So if you'd like to join us here on Night Call and express your opinion about football, what do you think about it? Is it a good game? Is it a bad game? Is pro football too commercial? Why do we like it? Is it the violence that we like in pro football? Well, these are some of the questions that we're kicking around tonight, and we'd like you to join us here at Night Call. Now, remember, you may dial us direct if you wish. And if you would like to, you can make that call collect. You may reverse the charges. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. Now, if you get a busy signal, please do not become discouraged. Just hang up and dial us again. Area code 313-846-6601. Mr. Morgan, do you think that violence is part of the nature of man, and particularly the nature of a football player?
Well, I think since a football player is a man, I think we have to answer the first question while I answer both of them.
You mean they're not a piece of property?
Well, they are, I suppose, to a very small group of people who own them. But to the rest of us, they're men. And I do indeed think that violence is... violence, kind of a, maybe not quite the right word, but that violent urge is seems to me to be a part of the instinct structure of the human being, and it will not be downed, and in some way it has to be released, and civilization it seems to be in many ways a response to an effort to control violence. Seems every time we get a new weapon system, well, we get some advance in civilization, and not the other way around. And I think the joy in football is one of the joys of football is simply it's a legal and moral and conscience-free way to express one's most violent instinct that civilization. To survive represses in our daily life.
Do you think that the fellow who actually plays football is any different from the guy who's viewing it as far as being human?
Yes, I do. In one way, I think we all grow up in our own particular atmosphere and home life and so on. And I do think that there are some boys who enjoy contact. Sports more than others. It's interesting. It's not necessarily the boys who like to fight other boys who then become good football players.
Now, give me that once again.
I say it's not always. As a matter of fact, it may be just the other way around. The boys who like to fight, you know, street fight and schoolyard fight and that
right.
Kind of thing, are not necessarily very good football players. The enjoyment of contact sports is almost for a fellow who doesn't enjoy street fighting.
Well, now some of these fellows
who wants to get it out under a much more sanctioned in a much more sanctioned situation. That's the only explanation I can think of why there aren't fist fights on every play down on a football field. Because my goodness, what they do to each other, if it was down the street, would start a riot.
Well, I'm sure a lot of them be arrested.
Right. You know, that wonderful story about, I think it was Jimmy Brown, he kept running plays through one fellow, and then he sat on the bench for some reason, and the fellow just came over, as soon as he took his helmet off, came over and hit him in the head. Took his helmet off. He'd been waiting to sock him all that time.
What about the size of these guys? I mean, aren't they really a little bit grotesque?
Well, I tell you, anybody who is over 250 pounds.
Okay.
Football, they had me down at 230 pounds. And it was true, I weighed 230 pounds in late August when the fall practice would start, you know. But by the time of the first game, I was down to about 210. And by the end of the season, I was down to about 185. And they still had me on there as a tenant weighing 230 pounds. I'm not saying that Sonny Atkins doesn't weigh 280. He looks like he weighs 280.
They all look that way.
But, you know, there's an awful lot of padding there. And I don't know whether they're any of them quite as big as they say they are. But they're big enough.
And Tom, I have a caller standing by in Greenville, South Carolina, a listener on WBAL out of Baltimore, Mr. Bradshaw. Good evening, Mr. Bradshaw. Speak right up. You're on night call, sir.
Good evening.
Your comment, please.
I'm from South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Greenville. And I was listening to your program while enjoying my automobile.
Yes.
And I was very interested in your comments about the whole game and everything. And as you know, we are just getting professional balls down in the South next year. You know,
right.
That's about 106 miles from my home.
Are you looking forward to this, Mr. Bradshaw?
Oh, yes. We have been looking forward to this a long time. As a matter of fact, I made quite a number of trips up to Washington and Philadelphia to see football games. And I think it's going to be a great success in the South. And I think that it's going to spread from Atlanta to other big cities throughout the Southeast and probably the far side. And it should, because we have this climate and the weather, and then we get the population and everything.
Tom, what do you think about the chances of pro ball in the South? We know how it is in the Southwest. It's excellent, isn't it?
I missed the bulk of the question. Is that the essence of the question?
Well, basically, Georgia's going in for pro ball next year.
I think the South is probably the wildest football country in the country. You know, people most enthusiastic fans in the country are from the South, and I shouldn't be surprised if two or three more teams could be successful, even in some of the smaller towns. I don't know why the South hasn't been in it earlier. It perhaps has something to do with the weather. It stays warmer down there longer, but perhaps it's just the natural growth of professional football. But I should think there'd be a number of towns in the South, like it would be sort of Green Bay towns. You know, Green Bay has all of about 40,000 people in the town, and they have a 40,000 seat stadium.
Right, that's. Mr. Bradshaw, you had a comment.
I was surprised to hear that Green Bay was as small as it is.
Well, you know, that's a surprising thing about that town. I think football really has put Green Bay on the map.
Well, I thought Green Bay was probably half a million people.
No, I think that's large, is it not, Tom?
I didn't hear that.
Green Bay is not a half a million people.
Green Bay is a little town.
A small little town with a great football field.
Great football team. They play a half their. They used to play half their games in. Madison or Milwaukee or someplace. They may still do that.
Well, Mr. Bradshaw, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Well, it's very interesting to listen to your program, and don't you fellas up there forget that you get quite a few good football players from this rebel country there.
We won't forget, Mr. Bradshaw.
Right.
Good night, sir.
Good night. I missed all that.
He reminded us Yankees up here in the North to the fact that many good football players come from the rebel country.
That's right. You just tell Mr. Bradshaw the North shall rise again.
Okay, we have a caller standing by in Indianapolis, Indiana, a listener on WFBM, Mr. Donald Johns. Good evening. Donald, speak right up. You're on Night Call, sir.
Yes. Very much interested in your comments on pro football.
Would you like to make some, Don?
What's that?
Would you care to make some comments?
Well, yes, especially watching the pro games on television and listening to the various radio announcers say, now, watch the line play, watch the line play. But the cameraman, I suppose, is following this ball for the benefit of most of the viewers, fails to leave the camera on the line so that you can watch the line play. And now that we have instant replay and end zone cameras and such, I can't understand why we don't see some of this line play and then have them show the instant replay to see what happens to the ball after.
That's a good observation, Don. I think many of us have had that feeling. Tom, what do you think about that?
Well, I've never understood the means of coverage of the football games. They have all kinds of techniques they could have used years ago, a split screen, and they have this desperate belief that they have to cover every running play from the point of view of the runner. And I guess we're stuck with it. Perhaps that's what most people want to see. I don't know. But I certainly agree that with the stop camera, they could, instead of always having the end going out doing its pattern, they could we could be seeing some of this mind play.
That's very interesting. I'm glad that some others do agree with me, just other than radio announcers.
What did you say?
He was pleased that we're agreeing with him, other than, you know, that radio announcers, he claims, are guilty of this type of thing, you know.
Also, you know, we're stuck with the tradition of the old-time radio announcers, you know, the
play-by-play,
and the crowd is screaming, and that's Frank Mary. Well, they, for 100 years, I guess, on radio, it's all we ever heard about was the quarterback throwing the ball and fading back and so on. I can't hear him.
Don, you'll have to speak up. The connection is rather poor.
I think, can the press or the radio announcers do anything about this?
I think the best way to do something about it is write a letter to the central office of the network that's broadcasting the games for you. If enough people wrote letters in and said, show us some line play, I'm sure that either that or write to the sponsor of the program. He's the fellow he'd have a lot of leverage in a situation like that.
That might have more effect.
That's right.
Thank you very much. I might try that.
Good night, Don. Thank you for calling Night Call.
Good night.
Mr. Donald Johns, a listener on WFBM out in Indianapolis, Indiana. Our guest tonight is Mr. Thomas B. Morgan, and we're talking about pro football, and we're wondering whether it's still a sport, and if it is a sport, what kind of sport is it, and what is the nature of the man that plays football and the man that views football? Football, pro football particularly, that's our topic on Night Call. And if you'd like to join us, give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. And remember, you may call us collect, you may reverse the charges. Area code 313-846-6601. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America, busy making money, busy buying gadgets, busy keeping up with you-know-who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment?
Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line? Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People, and our guest tonight is Mr. Thomas B. Morgan on Night Call. He's an author and a gentleman who wrote an article for Esquire magazine about the American war game. Shall we subtitle it football, pro football? And we're asking the question on Night Call tonight, is pro football still a sport? What do you think about football? Good game, bad game, brutal game, wild game? Why do people like it? Well, you can express your opinion here at Night Call, and we invite you to do so by calling area code 313-846-6601. And remember, gentle people, you may dial us direct, and if you wish, you may make that call collect. You may reverse the charges. Area code 313-846-6601. Tom, I have a caller standing by in Cheyenne, Wyoming, a listener on WFBC, Mr. Norman French. Okay. Norman, welcome to Night Call. Your comment, please.
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Morgan a couple of questions. First of all, I'd like to know if he thinks there will eventually be a playoff between the NFL and the American Football League.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's in the cards. I don't think it'll happen for a few years yet until the attendance at the American Football League games gets up to the standard of the National Football League, but when the a lot of the American Football League teams are still playing before audiences of 20,000 and 30,000, they've got to make it here in New York. People tell me with the Jets, and they seem to be doing that. And when the league really becomes a roaring success, I think there'll be a big popular demand for a World Series.
Not the caliber of play, but the attendance then makes a difference.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
It's not the caliber of play, but the attendance.
I think it's the attendance. The teams probably need a little more maturing, but to be equal to the NFL teams. But I don't think that's the major question. I think that it's a commercial question.
Secondly, I'd like to ask you whether you think the telecasting of professional football is going to hurt the telecasting of college football. I assume that with the addition of new teams that they'll be telecasting more professional games.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if this will eventually have some effect on the telecast.
Well, I think it's got to have an effect. I haven't watched a college game on television in 5 years. I think a pro fan is not a football fan per se. I think he's a pro fan, and if he watches college games, it's mostly to sit there and say, "Look at those bums." And as the pro game becomes more and more popular, and I don't even say that it's going to continue to become more and more popular, it may level off at some point. But it seems to me that they must be taking attendance away from the television of college games on Saturday.
Well, sir, I wouldn't agree with you that a pro fan is just a pro fan. I enjoy all football on TV because you do have the ringside seat, and I enjoy college just as well as professional. The only difference being that the professional scheduling is so much better. You always end up with a second-rate game at the end of the season in college football, and this is the only reason that I think I really prefer the professional football on TV.
I didn't hear all that, Russ.
Well, he was saying that he basically didn't agree with you as far as a pro and college football game. He enjoys both kinds of play. Norman, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why do you like football?
I like football because there is so much more action than in the other sports. Baseball is becoming such a slow game, and professional basketball, I just can't stand to watch because the action is so stereotyped. I mean, there's no variety of offensive maneuvers, and college football and high school football and professional football is such a wide open game. There are so many different ways in which to score, and any second can see an exciting play. You just never know what's going to happen. Where in basketball, the pace of the game is pretty much determined from the outset. I just can't stand professional basketball on TV.
And Norman,
football level, I think, is exciting.
Basically, you're saying that it's excitement that you're looking for.
Right.
Wouldn't it be more exciting if you played football? Wouldn't it be more exciting if you actually played football?
Well, I think so, but I've passed that stage now, and now I like to see the big guys do it. And due to the fact that on television especially, you have such a good seat, you can see everything that's going on. And I like to be entertained, and professional football is certainly a very entertaining sport.
Well, Mr. Norman French, I want to thank you for calling Night Call and expressing your opinion, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Good night, sir.
Good night.
A gentleman from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
There he is.
WFBC. Yes, he was. We have a lot of those type of people on our call audience. You know, they know something about everything, really.
Yeah.
There's not a topic that someone doesn't know, you know, about 1,000 times more than this guy knows about. Let me ask you a question, Tom. Did you see the article in this week's Life magazine,
yes,
Battle
I
of
did.
The Pros for the College Stars?
Yes, I did.
Now, I was reading that this evening, and something got to me. Particularly this idea that they had sitters. Now, a sitter, if I'm to believe Life, is someone who is sent out by the pro teams to latch on to a player and sign him up. And in one case, they even went to a man's wedding in his honeymoon and went on the honeymoon with the man. Now, isn't this really saying that these people that are supposedly pushing sportsmanship, the teams and the owners, really don't trust one another? And I always thought that sportsmanship was partly trust. What are we really saying about one another when we have to go to these extremes to get football players for the pro game?
Well, I think two things. Like almost everything else in the United States, some of the things we love most are endangered by the an overdose of commercialism. Everybody's entitled to a fair profit, and but sometimes it goes too far. And I think all these like Destroying Life was essentially a publicity stunt on the one hand, and on the other hand, there's no doubt that there's a terrific scramble now for ball players. And these fellows will go for two tremendous extremes to get the man they want, and I think they are going to have a comeuppance at some point. It seems almost inevitable. There'll be a terrible scandal. The game is going to get hurt by this. Somebody's going to some young fellow's going to get his reputation ruined. And then they'll straighten it out and get it on some sensible basis. But it seems it's too bad that they can't see it coming. And aren't prepared to do something to get a little order into the this competition for players.
Well, would you say that football, pro football, is going to grow in the United States or diminish?
Well, I think it will grow. It seems to me it will continue to grow. As long as the conditions in the country that have made it popular continue about the same. If there's a war, or if there's a depression, or if there's some drastic change in our condition of life here, I suppose the game would might be one of the casualties. Also, I think football has an element of the fad to it, just like anything else in that area. And fads have a way of running their course. Baseball went on for 50 years as the great American game, and when I was a kid, you know, I used to memorize all the batting averages, and now my kid knows all the names of all the players on the football teams.
I wonder about this idea whereby the teams, you know, they really don't trust one another again. And they're always playing little spy games with themselves. If we're not allowing something to happen here that we really shouldn't allow to happen, something to this effect, that there's no trust and there's a sort of a dishonest quality that the teams have with one another. Now, is that a correct statement or is that a true statement?
I wouldn't say that they're... you see, the two leagues are separate. Now, within the National Football League, and I'm the American Football League is that I've learned about the National Football League. Within the National Football League, they have a very well-organized system now for the drafting of players and for the organization of the game.
The system greased with money, right?
Well, it's greased with money, but it's also greased with a lot of good sense. For example, there's always been a danger in football of betting scandals and bribing the players and shaving points and all that sort of thing, and it practically never happened. I don't know of more than one or two cases, the famous Paul Hornung case, where he was it was suspended just for seeming to associate with unsavory characters, as I understand from the papers. That kind of quick action has kept the National Football League absolutely clean for a lot of years. As a matter of fact, old Bert Bell told me one time that he spent every Monday going over the gambling odds and the point spread and checking against the actual scores in the games to see whether there was anything suspicious in the scores of the games in his among his teams.
Mr. Morgan, we're just about finished with our time here on Night Call, and I want to thank you for being our guest. We've enjoyed having you, sir.
Our guest tonight was Mr. Thomas B. Morgan, and he's an author, and our topic was, is pro football still a sport? Monday night on Night Call, our guest will be Mr. David Reed. He's the author of 111 Days in Stanleyville, and he'll be talking about the Congo. Until Monday night, then, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station. As a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.